This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm delighted now to welcome to the Radio Cafe, Tab Hunter. The documentary about his life, Tab Hunter Confidential, will screen at the CCA here in Santa Fe on Sunday, November 22nd at 2 o'clock. And Lust in the Dust, one of the films in which he stars, will screen that evening at 7 o'clock, and Tab Hunter will be in person for both screenings. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Well, thank you very much.
You were a major famous Hollywood star in the 1950s. You were a blonde-haired, blue-eyed heartthrob. And your story is so interesting, but let's start at the very beginning. How did you become an actor?
Well, I first met, I was a stable boy when I was about 15 years old, 14 years, no, earlier than that, about 14. And out of the stable one day, Dick Clayton came out there, who later became my agent, but he was an actor doing a layout with Ann Blythe for a movie magazine, and I loved movies, so I was fascinated, and I just couldn't take my eyes off of the publicity being done on them. And Dick used to come out all the time and ride. We started talking, and he was the one who planted the seed about me becoming an actor. And then later, when I got out of the Coast Guard for being underage, he introduced me to my first agent, Henry Wilson, who was agent for Rock Hudson and Guy Madison and Rory Calhoun. And then later, when Dick became an agent, of course, I signed with him immediately, and he was the agent for Jimmy Dean, Jane Fonda, Burt Reynolds, Angie Dickinson, and so forth. But, I mean, that's where it all started, out of the barn, and I still shovel the real stuff out of the barn because I'm a great horse lover.
You could do everything. You could sing, dance, you were a figure skater, you were an equestrian, you're a successful actor, you signed with Warner Brothers and were very popular. You were doing movies, you were also doing stage, you eventually did television. Warner Brothers even started a recording division for you. How did that happen?
Well, I was doing a tour with Natalie Wood for a film that we had done called The Burning Hills. It wasn't a very good picture. I think my horse was the best thing in it. While I was on tour, while Natalie and I were on tour, Howard Miller, who was a disc jockey in Chicago, heard me sing and said, "Did you ever think of recording?" And I said, "No. I sing in the shower, and everybody sounds good in the shower." And he said, "Well, I'd like to introduce you to Randy Wood at Dodd Records." So I met Randy. Randy presented me with Young Love. We recorded it on a Friday. Monday, I heard it coming out of the car radio. It almost hit a palm tree on Sunset Boulevard. And bingo, it became the number one song in the nation. And then after that, I did an album for Dot right away. And Jack Warner called me in his office. And he said, "Wait a minute, we own you for everything. You're under contract to us." I said, "But Mr. Warner, you don't have a recording company." He looked at me and he said, "Well, we do now," and they started Warner Brothers Records.
That's really amazing.
I can't believe it when I see how large that company is.
I know. How did you break through from the handsome leading man to more serious roles?
Well, you know, people always want to put a label on you, and they're always concerned with the externals. I think we've got to get rid of that. I mean, the important thing is your own growth. I was a kid thrown in the business, didn't know, I could hardly read my new name, Tab Hunter, off a piece of paper. And Dick Clayton was always saying, "You've got to work, you've got to work, you've got to develop as an actor." And I thought, it's something I really must do because I love doing it. And so that's what I tried to do is work, you know, just learn from the people I worked with, the writers you worked with, and certainly the directors you work with.
I suppose this is a problem that goes on today and that has always gone on, which is when you get cast as a certain kind of person, you're typecast, and it's not easy to really change that image.
Well, that's a very good point. For example, it was live television that gave me the opportunity to play my first heavy on a show with Geraldine Page called Portrait of a Murderer. And it was very exciting, the directors you worked with in those days. There was Arthur Penn on that one. And it was only because of that that the studio later gave me more challenging roles and more diverse roles. So I totally agree with you on that. They put you in a slot. But the days of the studio were totally different from the business today. You know, they built the character they wanted to build. They presented me as the all-American boy. They presented Jimmy Dean as the young rebel. You know, they would hang labels on you, which I don't really like, but that's what people unfortunately do to everyone. In fact, the first line of my book was in capital letters, "I hate labels."
Yeah.
I'm more concerned with what we are as a human being.
Well, speaking of labels, you were gay. You knew you were gay when you were working in Hollywood, but it was the 1950s, and it was a time when everyone was in the closet, pretty much. What was it like for you to be publicly the object of desire for millions of teenage girls and privately be interested in men and really not have your heart in that whole scene at all?
Well, that's an assumption on your part, saying I didn't have my heart in that at all. I love whatever you do as an actor, you either do it 100% or you shouldn't be working as an actor. Number one, the word gay wasn't around in those days. I'm a very private person. I always have been. I had a very strict religious German mother. Nothing for show. Unfortunately, I wound up in show business. But when you are under contract and someone hires you, you do the best of your and give it the best of your abilities, 100%, or don't be there at all. Someone else will be there. Or if you're not doing as they ask, they will get rid of you and hire someone else. So it's that simple. I love going on dates with Natalie. She was like my kid sister. Or Debbie Reynolds, who I just talked to the other day. I mean, I've known her since she was in the high school band in Burbank blowing the French horn. Then Warner Brothers put her under contract, and then they dropped her, and thank God, because she went to MGM and became a major star. I mean, because a person is gay, that doesn't mean you don't love women. That's totally stupid. That's stupid of people to assume. Assumption is the mother of all screw-ups in life. We have to be aware of that.
Well, then, let me put it this way. How did you feel about being the object of desire of millions of teenage girls?
Well, it was kind of frightening, if you want to know the truth. I'm not comfortable in that persona, you know, in that being in the public eye like that. It never was my comfort zone. And but you do it. It's your job. You do it, and do it to the best of your ability, or get the hell out.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt closest to God with a pitchfork full of crap in my hands out of the barn, shoveling the real stuff, because that was important to me. The other stuff was just the hoopla of life. And, you know, that can make you fat mentally, physically, and number one, spiritually.
Yeah, yeah. What was it like? I mean, you dated actor Tony Perkins. What was it like to have relationships with men at that time and really have to stay pretty closeted? I'm assuming that. Was that your experience?
That was my own personal life. That doesn't concern anyone else. That was my own personal life. And I was a very quiet person. I was very introverted in many, many ways. But little by little, thanks to my brother who helped me out, I learned to kind of come out of myself a bit more. But I think your relationship with anyone is between you and your maker. And people want to say, you know, the unfortunate thing today is everything is so blah, blah, blah right in your face that I find that rather disgusting. That's just not me as a person. I mean, allow me my space. I certainly will allow you yours. I think that is what we have to worry about. I mean, think about growing up.
We're talking to Tab Hunter. Now, why did you decide to leave Warner Brothers?
Well, there was no work for me at Warner Brothers anymore. It was the demise of the studio system. Studios, you know, in the old days, you had those great moguls like Jack Warner at Warner Brothers, Harry Cohn at Columbia, Daryl Zanuck at Fox, Louis B. Mayer at MGM, and they ran a tight ship, and they, you know, you worked for them, and they were wonderful. And we were the end of the studio system, people like Natalie and myself and Tony Curtis, Piper Laurie, Bob Wagner. It was the end. It was the end because the system was changing. Studios had to rid themselves of the theaters they owned all over the country. The influx of television came in a major, major way. It was all hurting the studios, and they finally fell apart. Now it's a whole different ball game, a whole different business. You have large companies own the studios. They spend gazillions of dollars on pictures, and the majority of them you don't even want to go and see. And there are a few creative people around today, God bless them, who contribute and give you things that elevate your thinking. And I think that's really exciting. But they're few and far between.
So what did you do after that? I mean, you left. Did you regret it?
Well, when I left Warner Brothers, I couldn't get arrested. I mean, I did a television series that was on opposite the Ed Sullivan Show. Well, that was a joke. Every Sunday night was an institution with Ed Sullivan. That lasted 36 shows, which would have been a major hit today, but in those days it was one season. We did that. Then I couldn't get a job in Hollywood, so I went out and became a pioneer of dinner theater and traveled all over the country doing that. But, you know, it's called survival. You have to get off your butt and go out, and to do is a nice action verb. And that's what we have to do in life, is be a contributor as best we possibly can. It was tough. I had some very, very difficult times.
Your story really illustrates something that probably everybody goes through to a greater or lesser extent, but yours is, it's so extreme. I mean, you were really in the limelight, and then suddenly you're not anymore, and change is that dramatic, you know, where you're the belle of the ball or whatever the right term
is.
Well,
I wouldn't go that far.
No, I know, but I mean, you were just celebrated and so well known, and then in the documentary they show what happened to Tab Hunter, where is he now, that kind of thing. And those kinds of rises and falls in career, how did you find your sense of your own kind of strength and stability regardless of what the public and the press was saying about you?
Well, I try not to listen to a lot of that stuff. Those are things of the hot fudge sundaes of life. You know, you can't live on hot fudge sundaes. You better eat the staples of life, the important things, the vegetables. Have your vegetables, for gosh sakes. If you start buying into all of that, but when they turn, that's not good. But when Hollywood turns on you, they turn on you, period. And you had better not be a first person singular person. You got to learn to divorce yourself from yourself and find out, where am I going? And you've got to get a route to travel. And my religion helped me a great deal there, because I'm a Catholic, and I went back to the church. It was a very important part of my life, and I wandered from it for a few years, and I finally found, through a priest friend of mine that I'd met, a path that was very important to be back on.
Are you still involved with the Catholic Church?
Absolutely. It's right down the street from where I live. I love it. But it's a part of, you know, it's not something you say, I am this, I am that. You just live what is important for your own development, as I said earlier, mentally, physically, and number one, spiritually. Every body is different. And I don't care where you find it, you must go in search of it and find it.
Now, how did you get involved with John Waters and his films?
You mean the friendly undertaker? I love John.
Yeah.
I was doing a play. I was just closing it in Indianapolis, and John called me up and said, hello, my name is John Waters. I don't know if you know of me. I said, no of you. I love your work. I love Mundo Trasho and Pink Flamingos. And he said, well, I'm doing a film, and I just wondered if you might, you know, be interested in doing it. It's with Divine. And he said, no, before he said Divine, he said, how would you feel about kissing a 300-pound transvestite? And I said, well, I'm sure I've kissed a hell of a lot worse. And he sent me the script. I read it. I had 2 weeks off from the play, and I thought, yeah, I want to do it. And I had an agent that said, you don't want to work for John Waters. And I said, what have I got to lose? I've got everything to gain, nothing to lose. Plus, I was a big fan of Divine's and John's. So that's how that came about. And it was a fantastic experience. I loved it. In fact, I wanted him to direct our film, Lust in the Dust.
I wanted to ask you, what do you feel like? I mean, you talk about how your Hollywood career is really your past life. And I wondered, what have been the most fulfilling parts of your life professionally?
Professionally?
Yeah.
Well, I'm retired. I look back and I think of some of the... I've been fortunate enough to work with some really interesting people, some really great people. You know, working with directors like Luchino Visconti in Italy, or, you know, John Frankenheimer, Arthur Penn, Sidney Lumet. You know, those were wonderful, wonderful directors. Bill Wellman. I mean, I've been very fortunate there. Or working with actors and actresses. Geraldine Page, you know, Gary Cooper, Fred Astaire, Van Heflin. I mean, my gosh, Natalie, I loved her. She was, you know, you work with people and they feed you and you feed them. That's the process that is so rewarding.
And what about personally?
Personally, my horses and my friend Alan. I mean, I've known Alan for 30 some years. He's a very important part of my life. And my horses, I've been involved with horses since I was a kid, and I just became a father last April, and my mare had a foal. I'm thrilled. I should have passed out cigars, but I didn't do that.
What was it like for you to go through the process of making the documentary Tab Hunter Confidential and to revisit that all those times in your life?
Well, it was kind of difficult. It was difficult with the book. You know, it took Alan, he had talked like a Chinaman to get me to do it. And I thought, oh, all right. So I finally did the book, only because I heard somebody was going to be doing a book on me. And I thought, look, get it from the horse's mouth, not from some horse's ass after I'm dead and gone, because people always want to put a spin in your life that never knew you. So then I thought, the book is done. It became a bestseller. Let Sleeping Dogs Lie. And then he said, I want to do the documentary. I thought, you got to be joking. But I did it throughout that 6-7 year period. And Alan did all the work on it. He raised every penny. He put the people together, hired our director, worked very closely with the director. The director was our editor. And it was a wonderful process. But it's not my comfort zone. But I'm thrilled. In fact, I'm overwhelmed with the way it's been received. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's very well done. It's a wonderful film.
Every time I look at it, I just say thank you. You know, I look up and say thank you because it's a journey, and we're all on a journey. And the director wanted to do only the Hollywood years. Well, that's pretty boring. I thought, look, let's make it the journey, the younger years, you know, the early years, the Hollywood years, the golden years. And we're all going in one direction, hopefully upward and onward, you know. So it was an exciting process, but, you know, it's over now. And I run back to the barn and shovel the real stuff.
Tab Hunter will be with us here in Santa Fe, New Mexico on Sunday, the 22nd of November. The film Tab Hunter Confidential will screen at 2 o'clock that day, and then Lust in the Dust will screen at 7 in the evening. We look forward to seeing you, and thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to coming back to Santa Fe because it's one of my favorite places, and my good friend Caroline and my godchild are there with the horses, and I can't wait to go out and see them, you know.
Well, thanks again.
Thank you. I'll see you at the screening, maybe.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.